Welcome to Intentional Mamas Podcast. No matter if you are a mom or will be one someday, this is a fun way for girls to get together and dive into spiritual growth in ourselves and our homes. To learn more, check out the Intentional Mamas Facebook page, the Root Bible social media pages, or at rootbible.com. Now, here is Pastor Kate Richter.
Hello! Welcome to Intentional Mamas, and if you're a papa out there listening, it's okay. Josh and I are actually in the process of putting before the Lord other options to name this, because this is about having rich generations. And, you know, moms, you're at home with the kids a lot of times, so a lot of this material applies to you. It applies to now mamas, future mamas, dads, fathers, grandparents, grandmothers. So, you know, when we're just getting into the root of our identity as moms, as navigators of eternal beings that the Lord has trusted us with, it's not just for moms. So Josh and I are actually going through right now what we will name the podcast as we get it back up, in addition to 7-Minute Seeds, which everybody should be subscribed to. Those 7 minutes of power that go deep into your heart and allow the Word of God to produce a mighty harvest. There's going to be this, which will not be Intentional Mamas for long. So put out there in chat. I see some people joining us already. Put out there in chat what you think would be a good name for this podcast, building off 7-Minute Seeds, building off what we teach all week long at rootbible.com. We want to help make this real. You know, I'm Pastor Kate. My husband and I have been in ministry for 20 years. We have a desire to get people the sustenance from the Word that they actually need to live rooted lives in Christ. And we don't want to limit that by age. So it's not just for adults. It's not just for once you're 30. It's not just for kids. It's not just for youth. It's for everybody. This new life in Christ is not limited by your earthly age. So that's what we do. And so we're looking for a better name. Put your ideas out there. We'd love to hear them on what this podcast should be called. You're currently watching the live recording of the podcast. And then we also have a live class going on at rootbible.com where when I finish this recording, we go over and we tackle real questions, real issues that maybe we're having in our home or we're having with our children or our spouse, and how to, by the leading of the Spirit, bring the Word of God to life in that situation and allow Him to bring all of His promises, including peace, to it so that it may be diffused and work for His glory. Now, if you're out there, put your name, put where you're listening from. I see a couple comments already. Let's see. Hi, Katie. Good name. Hi, Erica. Good. You're always here. I love that. Your comments are always so spot on. It's just neat how we're knit together in the Spirit. Who else do we got? I'm switching back and forth here. We go live on multiple pages, so if I miss your comment, I apologize. I always go back through and say something later. So if I do miss it now, I will check in on it later. I don't want to miss it. I love how the body is united through social media for those. Hello, Sharon. For those that choose to use it for His glory and to grow. So here we are. And we're going to talk about focus today. Focus is what we have been discussing all week long at rootbible.com, in classes, and in our home. Because when my kids go to class, when I teach a class, it doesn't just remain there. It becomes life to us all week long. Something we're discussing, we're bringing up, we're stirring up in our spirits, in our homes, in our hearts, so that it can be reality in our life. Not just a class we attended and then we leave. So remember, if you're watching this and you've not checked out rootbible.com yet, please do. And it's free. So register your kids. Get them in there. Get your youth in there. Register yourself. Get real God answers alive in your home and the identity that we really have available to us in Christ working in you, in your kids, in your spouse all the time. All right, so what's our focus? I can tell you, one of my kiddos in my home has the ability to meditate, and sometimes on things that he shouldn't be meditating on, but not necessarily bad things. So he'll be into a certain thing and he will meditate on it day and night, like illusions. So in our classes online, we used a lot of examples of illusions, and I will tell you why. Because illusions will change how your focus is. The enemy is the master illusionist, right? So he's really into illusions right now and using them in a way that he can point people to Christ, which is awesome, except I will be talking to him and I'm like, you're not thinking about what I'm talking about. And he's like, no, I'm focused on the next illusion I've been learning or whatever. So here we are talking about focus. Well, let's go over to, I can now take that and go, hey, you need not to focus on illusions all the time. That would be my natural response, right? Your meditation of your heart, your focus must not be illusions all the time. But as soon as I tell him that, do you know what he's thinking? Illusions, 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 illusions. Oh, I'm not going to think about illusions all the time. Illusions, illusions, illusions. Oh, I'm not going to think about illusions all the time. Okay. So now I have pointed him in a natural way with good intentions how not to think about illusions all day. And instead, he's focusing on illusions all day. So now he's frustrated. He's like, I just can't stop thinking about it, right? Well, the Holy Spirit reminds him, hey, stop thinking about this all day. I've got that covered. When it's time for that, I'll fill in. And he's like, okay, so instead I'm going to think about not focusing on illusions all day long. I'm not focusing on illusions all day long. I'm not focusing. And what's he do? He still is focusing on illusions, just focusing on not focusing on illusions, right? So this is a natural way that of a cycle can take place in our lives, in our children's lives, in our spouse's lives, where we have something that is penetrating our thought life. It's causing us to focus on something other than God and His Word. And our natural solution is, I am refusing to or not going to focus on this anymore, in which we fail every time. And so that's what we're going to talk a little bit about today, is that how the fruit of the Spirit works in our life is not by us navigating by natural reasoning what we're focusing on. You're like, Kate, you've already lost me. Don't hang on, because through scripture, we're going to go through this trip together and we're going to discover how the enemy has fooled us into thinking we can control the fruit of the Spirit in our life, or the Spirit's working in our life, by our own fleshly efforts. Now, some words I'm saying to you, if you've been in your Word at all, should start to be coming to life right now. Like, oh, I get it. I see it now. Well, now, how do we make that a reality in our life and our kids' life? Well, we're going to discover that today, our spouse, our home, everything, because we cannot in the natural navigate our thoughts. We must include the Spirit. We must die to our natural selves, include the Spirit, and that is the only way that the fruit of the Spirit will be produced. So as we go in, get your notebook, get your papers. If you're driving, don't do that. Ask the Holy Spirit to stir it up and remind you as you go. And we're going to get right into it. All right. The fruit of the Spirit is a result of our focus. Okay. What you're meditating on, what you're focusing on. Now, we're going to get into this with scripture. If you can write them down, that's great. If you're online and can put them in the chat, that is so helpful. So please do that. But I am learning this through personal experience in my own home and with myself. I've just brought up what I deal with my son, one of my sons. I deal with it with all three, don't get me wrong, in different ways. And I have good intentions with my natural solutions for them. But let's go to me. Let's go to busy mom of three, ministry, homeschool mom. I have focuses that I want and I don't want. And so I'll go to sit down to write the curriculum for next month. And then I'm reminded, not by the Holy Spirit, mind you, that I have not picked out Willow's, my youngest, curriculum for reading and math. And I should probably turn to that. Or I remembered I didn't empty the dishwasher. And although I know it's one of the kids' jobs, it would just warm their heart if I go empty it now. And so now all of these things are coming up. Good ideas, right? But it's causing the lack of peace in me. What's one of the fruit of the Spirit? Peace. Okay, so now all of these thoughts, all of this, all of these good intentions, all of these things that do need to be done, the cares of this world are coming in my mind and bogging it down when I should be focused on what I know I've set that time apart for, which is writing the new curriculum for next semester's series and route, healing and heaven's health. So I sit down to do that. Well, I have to decide then, are these thoughts my good intention thoughts? Are these thoughts coming in from the Holy Spirit when the Father's already directed me to focus on this? Although sometimes he will direct you other places. Are these thoughts coming from the enemy? Okay, and now all at once, I've got this chaotic lack of fruitfulness going on. I've got the responsibility to calm it, but how am I going to calm it? I am not going to be chaotic. I'm not going to think about kids' curriculum right now. I'm not going to think about kids' curriculum. Well, what am I thinking about then? I'm thinking about chaotic and not being it, and I'm thinking about kids' curriculum and not focusing on it. My focus is not turned to where it should be, and that's the Lord. Okay, let's start off in Romans. No better place to start. We're going to chapter 8, verse 6. Let's just go in and find out what it is we're really dealing with here when we're trying in our flesh, it's the word we're about to discover, to control our own thinking, okay? Romans 8, 6, let's look at it. For to set the mind on the flesh is, he doesn't mince words here, death. But to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. Okay, all semester long, we've been talking about fruit of the Spirit. There's one right there, peace. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, against which there is no law. The law was what helped people naturally keep themselves in line with the Lord. Okay, when we step into the Spirit, we're not under the law. So if we're in the flesh attaining what we think is right, this will create death. But if we set our mind on the Spirit, now my mind's not set on I won't, I can't, I shouldn't, right? It's set on the Spirit. Now it's life and peace. What? I didn't have to go seeking peace. I didn't have to set the perfect song on for peace. I didn't have to set the perfect environment for peace. I didn't have to have everyone around me acting exactly how they should for peace. No, I had to what? Set my mind on the Spirit, where life and peace is. Now let's go into, when you're reading the Word of God, you come across the word flesh a lot. Carnal nature, flesh. Let's really find out what it's saying there. For simplicity's sake, I'm going to tell you this. Your natural way of thinking, your common sense, apart from God, so worldly based, the part that's not yet renewed or aligned with the Word of God, has not been transformed by the renewing of the way that you think. That is your flesh. But let's go over to the Greek to make it clearer. The Greek will break it down for us because we're in New Testament. We know that the New Testament was originally written in Greek. So when we see the English word flesh, let's look over here to the Greek. I go to BibleHub.com. I like to use it. I like to teach everyone in our classes to use it. So I'm telling you the same thing. I'm pulling up BibleHub.com. The word here in the Greek is sarx, number 4561. What's that mean? Flesh. Okay, well, that would explain why those that are writing this or translating it from Greek would write that. I get it. But what are some other words? Body, human nature, materiality, or kindred. Okay, so something you're familiar with, material things, your natural humanity, your flesh. Now, this I want you to write down. Every time you see flesh or carnal nature, you can write five senses. Okay? What are our five senses? Let's go back to elementary school. Hear, taste, touch, smell, see. Okay? Your five senses is your flesh. So your five senses, apart from the spirit, just flesh ruled and reigned. This is what I feel. This is what I see. This is what I hear. This is what I think. Because of what I feel, hear, see, taste, touch. That's the flesh, sarx, okay? Merely of human origin or empowerment. What's that mean? You're gaining all of your own power from your human nature apart from God. See, when we break it down, it makes it really common sense, doesn't it? Why, if you've been made brand new by the Spirit of God through Christ Jesus, believing in him, would you go back to the former ways of reasoning within the flesh by your five senses, of reasoning things in your life like you're under the law? We don't want to teach our kids to do the same thing. We don't want to teach anyone in our homes, including ourselves, to do the same thing. We are not reliant on our five senses or our flesh alone. If we are, the result is death. Let's look at, to correlate with that, even before Christ walked the earth in Proverbs 14:12. Let's turn over there. Proverbs 14:12. Proverbs is considered the book of wisdom. If you break Proverbs down, you actually can go through it in a month's time, one chapter a day. 31 Proverbs, of course, unless you're in February, you'll have to double up a little or whatever. But you can break it down. And this is considered the book of wisdom. Proverbs 14:12. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Okay, we're partnering that with. And if anyone can chat this up, oh, thank you. I see you, Unintentional Mamas. If you can put this in the chat, that's super awesome. We're comparing Romans 8:6 with Proverbs 14:12. Romans 8:6, for the mind set on the flesh is death, but the set the mind on the spirit is life and peace. Proverbs 14:12, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. These two scriptures can go up all over your house right now. This is your constant reminder that you're a new creation in Christ Jesus. If indeed you have believed on him, you have confessed that he is, you have died so that he can live, these two scriptures can help align you, your spouse, and anyone in your home with where is your focus. Is it what you think is right? Are you going by your flesh? Are you going by your carnal nature? Are you going by your unrenewed self, your five senses? Because if you are apart from the spirit, the result is death. There's not going to be life in that area. There's not going to be God's provision in that area. There's not going to be God's fruitfulness in that area because you are doing it by the flesh. Ah, guys, I know you're like, harsh. No, it's not. It actually is so freeing because it sets you free. It sets your spouse free. It sets your children free from being ruled by the flesh and calling it God. Not seeing the fruitfulness of the promises of the word of God that come with salvation, that come with being his child, that come with being filled with his spirit. Not seeing those things because you're living a life in the flesh, receiving death, but calling it a life of the spirit. Okay, let me get a drink. What seems right to the man? So we looked up what flesh was. Remember, when you see that in your word, you can write five senses. Carnal nature. It's mere human reasoning apart from the Spirit. I'm marking my pages here. So the Bible tells us when we focus on what we don't want in our lives anymore, it doesn't produce life. And change that, and nor will it change what we see, it will actually create death. So if you're focusing on things you don't want in your life, naturally, it's going to create death. I don't want to be impatient. I don't want to be not peaceful. I don't want to eat this much food and suffer with gluttony. I don't want to tell lies. Guess what you're going to do? Your focus is that. So what's going to happen? That, because you're just doing it in the flesh. So what do we do? How do we not do it in the flesh? Colossians 1:10. Let's look it up. Colossians 1:10. I've got it in front of me. I'm going to look it up here also. Colossians, how do you find it? Okay, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, I say go eat pie and cake. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians 1:10. Thank you, Erica, for typing that in there. Colossians 1:10. Oh, guys, I'm going to have a hard time getting out of this one. Colossians 1:10. So as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. This is a big one for me because this is why the Lord called us out to do root. Because if you are not raising up everyone in your home, all those eternal beings, including yourself, to be increasing in the knowledge of God, what are you doing? Increasing in the knowledge of the flesh, increasing in the mind of the flesh, increasing in the mind of this fallen world that will be recreated. If you are not raising up eternal beings in your home to increase in their knowledge of God, what are you doing? Because it just said bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. Well, let's dissect this a little. First of all, the word knowledge. Okay, we see that come up a lot in our word. The word knowledge. Let me go up in, we just read Colossians 1:10. Before we flip over to really deep dive into what knowledge is, because guys, if you don't know what knowledge is, you're not going to grow in it. You're going to equate world's wisdom with knowledge, and that's not what God says it is. You're going to equate your own accomplishments by the flesh with God's knowledge, and that's not what it is. And that's what the enemy would have you do, the illusion of knowledge and never growing in it, never actually coming into understanding because you have the illusion of knowledge because you're doing it in the flesh. Don't let your kids do it either. Don't let your spouse do it. All right. Let's just go Colossians 1:3. We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith, by the way, we're praying for you. Anyone that is a Root family that listens to these podcasts, we're praying for you. We're sending out letters today to all of our partners who are making it possible. Now, we still work jobs, but the partners make all of this online stuff, all the equipment we need, things like that possible. They're all getting scriptures this week. I'm in the faith, Christ Jesus, and of your love for the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of truth, of the gospel which has come to you, as it has also in all the world, and is bringing forth what? Fruit, as it is also among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth, as you also learned from Apharius, our dear fellow servant, who is faithful and faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, who also declared to us your love in the Spirit. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the, here's the word we're going to dissect, knowledge of him and his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing, bearing fruit, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Let's just finish that out. Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power for all patience and long suffering with joy. Now, write this down if you're taking notes. If you don't, make a mental note of this. This is called the Colossians prayer. There's also two Ephesians prayers. These prayers are gold. Okay, it's like buying a field because you know something's in it. This is one of those. This is a prayer you can pray for your family members, for yourself, for your friends, that they would walk in this. And so what would that look like? Taking scripture and praying it out. For this reason, I do not cease to pray for Josh and to ask you, Father, that he be filled with the knowledge of your will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that he may walk worthy of you, Lord, fully pleasing you, being fruitful in every one of his good works and increasing in the knowledge of you, God, strengthened with all might according to your glorious power for all patience and long suffering with joy, Lord, that he would give thanks to you, Father, who has qualified us to be partakers of your inheritance in the saints in the light. Thank you that you've delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of your Son, Father, of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. You've just taken scripture and turned it into a prayer for your family, for your spouse, for your kids. Just take that. Don't let chaos come in and be like, oh, and add that and this and that and this and that and this. No, just that alone. Until it becomes revelation in you and comes out with power, you could pray that for a year and you would see it come to pass. All right, so what's our word knowledge here? Woo, we saw it a lot there, that you may know, that you would be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, that you would walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge. So we're reading these words and we're just popping over them sometimes, aren't we? The knowledge. Because we're going to reason in our five senses what knowledge is. I gain knowledge when I'm in math class. I gain knowledge when I'm in science class. Is that what he's talking about here? So let's look. The word here is epignosis. It's a Greek word, 1922. Remember, you can check this out at BibleHub.com. You're going to type in the word you're looking for. Then you're going to hit Greek. If it's Old Testament, you're going to hit Hebrew. You can compare translations there, everything. So here we go. Recognition or knowledge is the definition. The usage is knowledge of a particular point directed towards a particular object, a perception, discernment, recognition, or intuition on fitting, which intensifies knowledge gained through first-hand relationship. So there's a difference between reading about construction and holding a hammer next to someone who's teaching you how to hit the nail. So the knowledge he's talking about increasing in Colossians, as well as in Romans and in Ephesians, is what? A firsthand relationship knowledge. That you would really know you're a son of God, that you're one with Christ, that you're seated with him. And in that knowledge, you would begin to experience what he experiences, that relationship knowledge. Okay? The firsthand experiential, that's a big word. Try it again. Experiential knowledge, meaning through relationship, I'm going to experience this and therefore have a knowledge of it. Not just reading about it, read your word. Not just reading books about it, read books. But having an experiential knowledge that comes through the Spirit, who makes his word known, who reveals who he is, that's the knowledge it's talking about. Increasing in the knowledge of God, that firsthand contact relationship knowledge of experience with him. Not knowledge of reading a book, not knowledge of reading something with my mind or negotiating something with my mind alone. knowledge with firsthand experience through relationship. That's a whole different level. Okay, that's a heavenly internship. He wants you to grow. He wants your family to grow in that knowledge. Now, we know we can't grow fruit by focusing on the fruit. You know, the best way I learn about gardening is when I go tour gardens of gardeners. When I have someone come and help me and show me how to spray, how to weed, what to put under. I was putting wood chips under a tree for years, and it was almost like it was making the tree suffer. And if the wood chips touched the bottom of the tree, it would cause rot. I never knew that. And I had a gardener come over one day, and she's like, oh, just keep it like, you know, 3 inches away from the base of the tree, and it'll do much better. Now, I had read about wood chips under trees. I read about them shading, especially in Florida, the roots. I read all of this, and yet through personal relationship, hands-on contact knowledge, I learned something that changed everything of what I thought I knew. That's the kind of knowledge he's talking about in Colossians. That's the kind of knowledge he's talking about. Let's go over to Romans. Let's go to Romans 1:28. This isn't in the notes, but I want to pop over there because this is a little bit about what we're talking about. And we talked about in junior high and high school, especially, was where our focus was can either, you know, our spirit can be saved and our soul can lead us straight to hell. Because our soul is our mind, our will, and our emotions. Are we being led by that or the unrenewed part of that or what we just read in Romans 8:6 would be your flesh? Or are you being led by the Spirit, which identifies you as a son of God? You know, we're not just talking about churchianity here. We're talking about life. Okay, Romans 1:28. What happens here? 1:28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. Okay, that word there, same. So what does that mean? They did not retain their firsthand relationship, contact, knowledge of and with God. If you read that whole thing, they knew who he was, they experienced him, this was a absolute, I'm going to go by my flesh knowledge over the one-on-one contact knowledge with God, and he gave them over to a debased mind. Why do we need to know this as parents, as adults, even in our own lives? Why do we need to know this? Because if your kids are going with flesh knowledge, they're in the territory of being given over. This is often what happens when kids get sent off to college, who've been raised in a good home, who've been raised in the knowledge of God, meaning that firsthand relationship contact with him. They then go to college and they don't retain God in their knowledge, that firsthand relationship, and they start to gain earthly, fleshly knowledge. And what happens? They're given over. All of a sudden they come home, they're not the same kid. They're thinking different. And they're like, oh, anyone can choose their, you know, identity or their sex or their, you know, all of a sudden you're like, what are you doing? They've been given over to a debased mind. They've chosen not to maintain that knowledge of God, which pushes all of that other stuff away. How about Romans 3:20? Let's pop over there. Romans 3:20. Remember, we're talking about knowledge here. The knowledge that you have firsthand relationship, that Greek word with God, that's going to affect your focus, okay? 20. Now, I'm going to start in 19. Now, we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. Flesh, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Wait a minute, I thought we were talking about the knowledge of God. We are, but the same word is used here. That same intimate, firsthand relationship, contact, knowledge of sin. This is why God goes on to say in his word, don't even have a consciousness of sin. Okay, so what happens when we're focusing on not sinning? Our focus is on sin. See where I'm going with this? So here it is, that same word, that intimate relationship, the knowledge of sin. It's talking about that firsthand relationship, contact, knowing, knowledge through experience, sin. So we can't focus on the thing and see it lift. That will cause us to gain knowledge of that thing. Think of it like the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Adam and Eve lived in good. They lived in the garden where God was. They lived, he is good. They lived in good. But they didn't even have knowledge of good. They had relationship with he who was good. But why didn't they have knowledge of good? Because they didn't also have knowledge of evil. They just had relationship. They had understanding. They had intimate, spirit-led lives in the garden. They didn't even know they were naked because nothing was of the flesh. That intimate knowledge, firsthand experience came in when they decided they wanted it. They wanted more than what God had. And God, when he returned us in relationship in Christ, says, listen, now the knowledge of sin, don't even think about it. Don't even comprehend it. Don't even meditate on it. Don't even have a consciousness of it. I want you to grow in the knowledge of God, intimate one-on-one relationship and contact with me. So what's going to happen when we do that? The fruit. We'll step into having the fruit of the Spirit. The key in many verses is what? That you may, that you might, that if. Where will you set your knowledge? Will you grow in it? Will you help your eternal beings in your home do the same? Will you check every thought with them that it's spirit-led and not flesh? Knowing what it would produce if it were flesh. Relationship with God means greater knowledge of him. When your relationship is stronger with God, your knowledge is greater. When your knowledge is greater through relationship, your relationship is stronger. You see how that works? You get to know God so well so that when you stand before Christ, he knows you. That's the knowledge, that intimate contact relationship. This is why when people chase down blessings or the promises of God, they don't receive them because they're not chasing God. They're chasing the blessings or the promises. Chase God, chase his word, chase relationship with him, chase hearing his voice. That's what we want to teach our kids to do. So just like we don't receive blessings, we won't receive the fruit by chasing the fruit or trying to set it up by natural means. It's not going to happen. I'm taking you over to Ephesians. Ephesians 1:17. Pop over there. Ephesians 1:17. Whew. Ooh, I got one of our cards we're mailing out in there. If you're a partner, you're getting some of these this week. Right after this, we're mailing those out. Okay, let's look at that. Ephesians, going back to the word knowledge in here, Ephesians 1:17. I want you to hear this. This, you know what? This is also a prayer. This is one of Paul's prayer. So funny that when he prayed, he's constantly praying for this knowledge to be what increases in us. I'm going to start in 15. Show you how it's a prayer. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and of your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. There's that word again. same word, ephanosis, that intimate firsthand relationship knowledge of God, that recognition, that intuition, it becomes part of you because he's given you his nature as you grow in knowledge with him. I love it. I just love it. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened that you may know. What's that word know there? Hold it. I'll tell you. That word know there. To know. Is edio, which is to behold or consider or perceive. To see properly. Perceiving. Like, oh, I see what you mean. Okay, so now we said the revelation and the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may, oh, I see what you mean. What is the hope of his calling? What are the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints? And what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him in heavenly places at his right hand, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. Oh, I see what you mean. That's what Paul's praying here. Wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Oh, I see what you mean. That you may, I see what you mean. What is the hope of his calling? What really did you do this for, Lord? What? What really am I here for, Lord? Where are you going to find it? By focusing on your calling? By focusing on what am I supposed to do? No, by focusing on him. The spirit of revelation and wisdom and the knowledge of him, that intimate relationship knowledge, that the eyes of your understanding would help you say, oh, I see what you mean. Okay. So if God shows you that you need to be more peaceful, how do you do it? By focusing on peace? No, by focusing on God. Let's look at Colossians 3:3. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Colossians 3:3. I'm going over there. I had it written down, but let's go over there. I like to read it out of my word. Colossians 3:3. Let's see it over here. Okay, yeah. We're going to read this. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind, your focus, on things above and not on things of the earth. For you died. You died. Your new ID is I'm dead, ID. And your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Do you want to appear with him in glory? Do your kids want to appear with him in glory? Does your spouse want to appear with him in glory? I do. Well, then I'm going to know that my life is hidden in Christ. He even gives us instructions after that. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanliness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry, because all of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. Sons, disobedient. Your soul, if you're going to choose to operate by your own thinking, to create your own righteousness, if you're not going to rely on the Spirit, you're going to live in disobedience. His sons are led by his Spirit. Okay. Your ability to grow is in God. By his Spirit. Romans 8:6, remember, to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. So you know that focusing on money is not going to bring the money that God promised. You know that focusing on anointing is not going to bring the anointing that God promised. You know that focusing on wisdom and your gaining it is not going to bring what God promised. It's not about focusing on that thing. It's about focusing on God. It's about focusing on his words, about increasing in relationship. Relationship. Okay? Proverbs 23:7. I'm going to turn over there. Proverbs is pretty much dead center of your Bible. If you ever have a hard time finding it, you're going to find it easy that way. Proverbs and Psalms are almost dead center to your Bible, and it's easy to find them when you know that. Proverbs 23:7. Why am I in 13? Remember, Proverbs is the one you can read one a day with your kids, by yourself, with your spouse. Just do it. 23:7. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. What are you thinking? Where's your focus? How about Proverbs 4:25? Let's shoot back there. Write these down. You need to know this. Don't be fooled by the illusions of the enemy that your thinking is God's when it's just of your flesh. Proverbs 4:25. Let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or left or remove your foot from evil. Okay, what is it? Let your eyes look straight ahead to the Lord. Help your kids keep their focus on his word and him. Your flesh is there. Your five senses are there right now until you're recreated. And we're reconnected fully with him. And sin in this world, the enemy, is done away with. It's there. So where does our focus need to be? Yeah. Colossians 3:1. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is seated. What did we just read in Proverbs? Let your eyes look straight ahead. What did we read in 23? He that thinks in his heart. Okay. Therefore, if any of you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above. Here's a question you ask your kids. Are you thinking on things of the earth or things above right now? Where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the things of the earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. There's in full context there. Seated at the right hand of God. We need to think less about ourselves. We already think about ourselves more than we ought to. He came so we could die and he could live. Our focus is him. That knowledge is in him alone, not what we can attain in and of ourselves and say, look what I can do. No, it's about God revealing it. You know, I got a text this morning from some friends and they're studying out Logos and Rhema word. It's about that intimate relationship where those two words, Logos and Rhema, maybe I'll explain those one day, where those become a reality in your life every day or your kids' lives every day. Logos and Rhema. Okay? You have died, so your life is hidden in Christ. The fruit of the Spirit will come when your mind is set on the Spirit. Come full circle. It seems so simple, doesn't it? And what has the Spirit come to do but to bring power, to show us the Father, to reveal the Father, it actually says, in what? Knowledge of him, that intimate one-on-one relationship, experiential knowledge. That's what the Spirit has come to do. Not in your own wisdom. The Bible or God calls that foolishness. Why would you try to finish in the flesh what he began in the Spirit? He accomplished everything. All knowledge and wisdom is in him. That's where we're going to get it from, and it's where we're going to parent from, and it's where we're going to live from. So what do I have here? I have some examples. One more scripture before I show you. Zechariah 4:6. Then he said to me, this is what takes Josh and I through each day, is this word right here. This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. I can never say it right, so I usually say Z. Saying, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. We cannot make ourselves bear fruit. We cannot make ourselves sin free. We cannot make ourselves even think right. We can take thoughts captive with what? The word. But it's by his spirit. We must realize that it's only by his spirit. Okay? His spirit has come to what? Show us the word. Reveal the Father. Matthew 6:33, but seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. You're not seeking the things. You're not seeking even the fruit. You're not seeking the anointing. You're not seeking the money. You're seeking his kingdom, which is now living in you if you've become saved, if you've received him. If you said, yes, Lord, I believe in my heart and I confess with my mouth. You just changed your eternal destiny with what you believe and say. What else can you change naturally because of how you're connected and you know what to believe and say? Because you're spirit led. Don't get distracted. Don't ever get distracted. And if you do, repent quickly and get your focus right. Psalms. I'm going to Psalms 91. You guys like Psalms 91. A lot of people have memorized Psalms 91. I am not one of those people. But it's very cool for those that have. Psalms 91, 14 through 15. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. Why? Why? Because he set his love upon me. Where was his focus? Psalm 34, last one, I promise. Psalm 34, 1 through 3. Set your focus on him. Mamas, on a stressful day, when you're trying to get things done, set your focus on him. When the kids seem to be off, set your focus on him. You're going to get solutions that aren't from your own mind. 31, 1 through 3. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Don't let the cares of this world steal away his magnificent presence in your life, his nature that he put in you, his spirit that reveals things to you in wisdom, revelation, and knowledge through intimate relationship with him. Don't let your focus be stolen. Don't let the cares of this world, yeah, we have dinner, we have bills. Don't let those steal away that relationship, that reality of our new life in Christ. And spend time with him. Get cards up around your house with scripture on it. Kate, that's one more thing to add to my to-do list. This is one that doesn't return void. If you're a partner, you know, you're going to be receiving these this week. You can put these up around your house. But don't just put them up. Actually read them and then use your mouth to say them out loud. Let your body know it's dead and he lives. Speak the scripture out loud. Spend time in his word doing what it says. Oh, that's easy for you to say, Kate. Okay, well, you know what? We made some tools also. We've got rootbible.com. You can join classes for free, even interactive. Get answers to your questions and study. You want to know what the word study means? Setting the mind or thoughts upon a subject with purpose of learning what is not known before. Do you know that's literally the reason that God gave you the Spirit? This is why we're doing Roots. You can go to class and the Spirit can reveal things you cannot know on your own. That's why he says study to show yourself approved. Okay, okay. Well, if you're not a partner, become one. Prayerfully think about it. You'll get these. We also have cool things like this. Listen. If you're not a parent, you will be. This is Root Life. I'm using this with one of my kiddos who's struggling with whining. Okay, it's double-sided and it takes you through the word. What could I say? I could say, stop whining. You're stealing my peace. Okay. Does it sound like anyone's home? No, I could say that, right? Whining's bad. Don't do it. It's annoying. Have I probably said things like that before? Maybe in my flesh. Was flesh produced? Excuse me. I feel like I'm going to sneeze. I keep wiping my nose. It produces death. So what do I do instead? I go here. Whining. Are you showing honor with that tone of voice right now? Are you responding from your spirit, your soul, or your body? Your flesh, you could say. Is this how God wants you to talk to him or others? Listen, Jesus was a master of asking questions. So each of these starts with questions, and that's in the red. It's like the red light. Like, stop what you're doing and really consider. Turn your knowledge by intimate relationship onto the one who will guide you into all truth. Okay, 1 Peter 5:7, then is at the bottom, which backs up everything we said there. The Bible tells us, so we're going to move to yellow after they've answered those questions. The Bible tells us that whining is an ungodly form of communication. That's Titus 2:12. So how about we agree to refuse to have a bad attitude or to even allow complaining or whining in our lives, knowing it dishonors God? Okay. All right, well, let's do this together. God who lives in me, has given me everything I need to live a life of godliness. Okay, she'll repeat after me. I will not allow my feelings to lead me, but his spirit giving grace to those who hear it. First of all, my Father in heaven. I might have to do this multiple times a day, but this will not return void. Why? Because it's his word. You know what will return void? Stop whining. You're stealing my peace. Stop whining. It's annoying. Guess what she'll keep doing? Whining. But when I use the word, it doesn't return void. I'm building up the eternal her. I'm teaching her to rely on the word and her relationship with the Father to be the guide in everything that she does. This is our reality. This is our focus, not our own natural flesh, which leads to death. So then there's this. This came with one of our series. We have this out there for you to download. Family declaration. Well, Kate, I can't even find time to write a declaration in there. Things are so crazy. Well, I got that covered too. Sticky faith. You can just cut one right off and put it in there. If you really feel you can't look one up, maybe one of these would work. Okay, I cut these up. I'm actually recutting them up because ours got so old and putting them around. And I check with my kids. What's Ephesians 2:6 say? What's 1 Peter 2:23 say? You know, so what do they say? The real me is seated with Christ in heavenly places. I bring heaven to earth. Say that before you're done brushing your teeth. Okay, how about I see myself and others the way that God sees them, not by the flesh, but by the spirit. Teach your kids to declare the word. The word's also on there. Got another one. Here it is. I follow the Spirit to renew my thoughts and attitudes. I choose to put on my new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Why do we have to choose to? Because we have a soul that needs to be renewed. Teach your kids that. Your soul is not the rule and reign. You submit your soul as a slave to the Spirit. You're a son. Your spirit has been recreated. You are a son, but your soul must be submitted as a slave to the Spirit of God so that you may be saved. You may be sanctified. You may walk out your righteousness. Your soul is not going to lead you. Your spirit that he's put in you is. All right. That's a pretty good class. I don't know about you. I'm built up. Don't find yourselves raising kids who think they're saved, but their soul and their flesh lead them in everything. Don't do it. We're going to give you as many tools as we can so you don't live that imitation Christian life and stand before the Lord and he'll say, go away from me. I never knew you. The path is narrow because few people choose it. Use the word. Sanctify. Work out your salvation. Walk it out and teach your kids to do the same. The Spirit of God will produce obvious fruit in your life. We'll all stand before him and he'll recognize you by that fruit. Be led by the Spirit of God. Get in the word. Make it a reality in your home that every feeling, every decision, every action starts with the Spirit of God revealing the word of God. If you're interested in these, message us. If you can't find them on the site, let me know. I believe they're out there in the store. They're like a dollar download or something. Help support the ministry. I'm going to pray for you, and then I'm heading over to class where we'll get real questions, real answers, real solutions. Father, I thank you for everyone that's listening here. I thank you that you have a plan and a purpose for them that existed before they walked this earth. And they will discover that plan. We all will discover that plan in you alone. Father, I thank you for blessing the minds of each and every person listening with revelation knowledge, with wisdom, Father, with understanding, with rhema word, where this becomes their reality, that nothing good can happen apart from you. Nothing of the life that you've provided us and put in us will come out when we continue to be led by our flesh. So we surrender it, Lord. I pray for every single ear that hears, that they would lay down the flesh, and Holy Spirit, that you would red flag when the flesh is leading them and they think it's the right or righteous thing to do. Like the proverb said, a way to a man seems right. Father, I thank you that you've given us your Holy Spirit, and everyone listening filled with the Holy Spirit will be guided by that Spirit. By that Spirit, revealing your truth, revealing your word, giving us the power to walk it out, just as you did in Christ. I thank you for your overwhelming presence for those that are listening, for the conviction in their heart that they've been fooled, that they believed a lie, that they would just quickly repent. Father, anywhere in any area where we've lived our flesh and called it you, we repent now in Jesus' name, knowing you're so faithful to forgive, and that that has moved as far as the east is from the west from us. I thank you for loving us so well. Show us how to gaze upon you, Father, how to walk in your love and love you well, and teach all that are in our homes to do the same. We give you all the glory and all the praise. And we thank you as we set our mind on you, on your word, and refuse to stray. This will be the best week we've ever had. We will see your glorious presence and your power manifested through us in our homes and everywhere we go. As our eyes become your eyes and our hands your hands, our mouths your mouths. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Blessings. We went a couple minutes over. Don't forget to check out the podcast. Like, share. That helps this ministry go on to help more people of every generation really know who they are because they get to know him. I thank you for joining me. We'll see you at the same time next week or on the podcast. Either way, continue to grow in your knowledge of him and be led by his Spirit. Bye-bye.